We're back, 4:39. You're listening to The Georgene Rice Show. We're going to switch gears just a bit and talk with Randy Alcorn. Let me read from the back of the book we're going to be talking about, Help for Women Under Stress, Preserving Your Sanity. Struggling with stress? Don't let it get the best of you. It's part of our everyday lives. Sometimes as the spark that keeps us moving forward, and sometimes as the avalanche that threatens to bury us. Now, some of us know exactly what that's about. Chances are, since this book's title has caught your eye, you are looking for some relief from stress, or at least hope that relief is possible. And this revised and updated edition of Help for Women Under Stress, originally published in 1987, Randy and wife Nancy offer you both the hope and the help you're looking for. They're not only help you understand what stress is and how it operates, but gives plenty of useful tips and strategies for bringing peace to chaos of your everyday life. Well, Randy Alcorn, as many of you know, is the founder and director of Eternal Perspective Ministries. He's a New York Times bestselling author of over 40 books, including Courageous, Heaven, The Treasure Principle. We'll talk more about that later in the program today. And the 2002 gold medallion winner, Safely Home. Randy and his wife, Nancy, live in Gresham. They have two married daughters, five grandsons, and a golden retriever named Maggie. He joins us today to talk about this newly re-released book, Help for Women Under Stress, Preserving Your Sanity. Randy Alcorn, thanks so much for joining us.
Georgene, it's a pleasure to be with you.
You know, it's been 28 years since you wrote Women Under Stress, along with Nancy. It's been out of print for, I think, about 20 years. Why is it back on the shelves, and what might we expect this time around?
Well, we just wanted to see if we could make some money. No, actually, that is not the reason. The reason is just simply that we had this book that we wrote. We really invested ourselves in it. Wrote it before I ever had a book on the bestsellers list. It went out of print. You know, very few of my books are out of print now that some of them have sold pretty well. And so it was kind of one of those things that very few people really read back in the day. And furthermore, we wrote it when our kids were like 3 and 5. And we've had the benefit of seeing them grow up, going through a lot of things in life that you wouldn't normally consider having the benefit of, but a lot of stresses and losses, and where we've seen God's faithfulness. And I think we just know a lot more about the subject than we did when we first wrote it. So we decided, a number of people said, hey, that book really helped me back in the day, so maybe you want to update it. Never thought we would do it, but then one of our staff members read it, said, you know what, I think this is really pertinent. Just freshen it up, update it, rewrite some things. That's exactly what we did, and we're glad it's out there.
Now, most of our listeners are familiar with you and your writing, but maybe less so with Nancy. How did the two of you collaborate on this effort a couple of decades ago?
The way we did it was we would both research. We would read things. She'd be reading some books on stress. I'd be reading something. We'd get together. We'd talk about it, and we'd sort of outline the direction. She said, I want you to be the writer because you're a writer. I'm not. But her voice is in it throughout. So I would ask her questions. She'd say something. And sometimes I quote her in the book, but usually our heads were so together that I'm just talking as if we're one, which we are, and able to, you know, communicate these things. So we used we quite a bit. So I'm the actual hands-on writer, but in terms of research, discussion, expertise, it was as much Nancy as myself.
One of the points you make early on in the book is the fact that most of the research done on stress has been done on men, and there are some significant differences between men and women.
Indeed there are, Georgine. Thank you for pointing
that
out. Yeah.
I'm really good at pointing out the obvious, if you haven't noticed. But talk a little bit about the importance of focusing on women and stress because of those significant differences.
Well, we have a lot of interesting aspects to women in our culture today. Now, many things are better for women than they used to be, and those are things to be celebrated, including just general equality, equal pay for equal work, and, you know, lots of other things. But one of the interesting things with all the advancements related to how women are viewed in our culture, women have taken on far more than they've given up. In other words, there's this new thing now that you can do, but lots of the women who do the new thing also do the things that traditionally are expected of women. I don't mean that that's bad. That's up to the individual woman, to the individual household, she and her husband if she's married. But a lot of women have really multiplied their stress because they have these great opportunities, but they still, in many cases, are expected to be mothers of children, clean the house, fix the meals, in addition to having a full-time career outside of the home or whatever it might be. So the very presence of opportunities in our culture, which can seem like a blessing, and it is a blessing, but they can absolutely overwhelm because, you know, modern society has a lot of shortcuts, and great-grandma didn't have a microwave oven, and she didn't have nearly as many opportunities, but that was part of the key because she kind of had limits on life that didn't allow her to go too far beyond what, you know, she was doing. Whereas today, it's unlimited. I mean, there is always something more that you can do.
Yeah, you begin in the first chapter of the book writing about stresses on today's women, but you write about stresses that your wife was facing before you began, or right at the time you began your family, some stress in your own life. This was a time when your mother became ill and ultimately went home to be with the Lord. So the two of you have experienced significant stress at that time and certainly through the years that have followed that brings some real credibility to what you're writing about as well.
Well, some of the things that as we were rereading the book and you know, taking a careful look at it, I just had to laugh sometimes because of how little we knew back then. I mean, we did our best. I think it was a decent book. And I would say for two people who in the time were, you know, in their, say, late 20s, we did okay. But so many of the stresses in our life came after that. And I think, you know, we have a lot of friends right now. Our parents were, Nancy and my parents were older considering our age. And so we lost all four of our parents long before many of our friends lost any of their parents, couples our age. But now many, many couples our age are, you know, going through some of the stresses of life that, yes, the kids are growing up. Some things in life are easier, but other things are definitely harder. For instance, facing end-of-life decisions related to your parents. And if it's a married couple, often that means there's four parents out there, and one by one they're getting sick and dying, and the stresses that are related to that. Not to mention the fact that, say, if you've had children who have grown up, they're facing their own problems. You know, there are people who, you know, they love to see their grandkids grow up, but now we got a call yesterday from somebody who visits his granddaughter in jail. She's been in jail for years. And so, yeah, life just for us and for everyone, the longer you live, the more stress you have to deal with.
Well, let me ask you a question that may seem obvious, but I think it needs to be asked. What is stress, and what impact does it have on the body? Is it emotional, physiological, physical? What is stress?
Well, stress is the cumulative wear and tear of life. It's basically comes out of the reality of being finite people living in a fallen world, a world that from our Christian worldview we know is under a curse. These bodies that originally, as created in the Garden of Eden, were designed to last, now do not last. Things go wrong with them. You know, you may have noticed that yourself, Georgine. I mean, our bodies are just not, you know, they're not going to last forever. Now, we're going to have a resurrection body that's going to last forever, but not these bodies. And furthermore, our minds are under the fall, and our perspective is under the fall. So what happens is the stress, in answer to your question, is physical, it is emotional, it is mental, it comes in every form, and the cumulative stresses from every aspect of our being and life in this world, they all come together to be the sum total of stress that we need to deal with.
Many of us are familiar with the list of stressors, things that tend to be great stressors, and then they tend to be listed in an order where they're less stressful and the greater things, like the death of a spouse being at the top of that list, the divorce, marital separation. To what degree can we control our physical, emotional, mental response to stressful events?
Well, first of all, the way that we cannot control it is just by pretending that we're in charge of the universe. And this is what happens with some people where, oh, well, I'm going to remove the stress from my life by doing the following things. Well, that formula is not going to work and is actually going to create more stress for you, not to mention all the people around you. What you've got to do is recognize that it's all about perspective. We cannot control every event that happens to us. Now, certain events, certain things in our lives, we can control, and we should take the steps to control them. For instance, I counsel people before who are having very scary dreams, and it turns out they're watching very scary movies. So being, you know, insightful, I say, why don't you stop watching those movies? Okay, well, great. That's a good idea. I mean, so yes, there are stresses that are within our control. Get rid of the source. You might still have some scary dreams. You're not going to have nearly as many if you're not feeding your mind on that stuff. But on the other hand, there are things in life that come our way that are just inevitable. If you have a job, you have stress. If you have a family, you have stress. If you're in a marriage or if you're not in a marriage, you have stress. So perspective is huge. And one of the big things about perspective that Nancy and I talk about in Help for Women Under Stress is that we have to look at life with realistic expectations. Mm-hmm. 1 Peter 4:12, great verse. It says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you." I mean, it's to be expected. The Bible tells us we are living in the world under a curse. We are sinners. The world is full of sinners. And so stress, painful trials, don't be surprised. I remember years ago, you remember the book by Scott Peck, The Road Less Traveled?
Mm-hmm.
And the first three words of that book were, "Life is difficult." Then he went right on to say, after saying life is difficult, he says, "The sooner we recognize how difficult life is, the less difficult it will become."
Mm-hmm. You asked the question, are you under stress? It's possible to self-diagnose to see, you know, just how stressful life is for us and perhaps how we're managing it. And then you also write about stress-prone personalities.
Exactly. You know, there are the stress tests that we take, and we've got a few of them in the book, and those can be helpful, but a lot of us intuitively already know that we're experiencing stress. But we also know that there are certain things about ourselves that trigger the stress. We use an example of two moms whose daughters are getting married. Okay, 12 years ago now, our daughters were getting married within, I think, 6 weeks of each other. And so that was the summer of the wedding. And Nancy looked at their weddings, and we planned, and we did certain things, and we gave them a certain amount of money. We said, spend this money however you wish, but when it's gone, it's gone. You know, if you want to have a wedding, you know, for less and then take the remainder and buy furniture, that's just fine. That's up to you. One of our daughters did, and the other maybe added a little bit to hers to get the wedding that she wanted. But weddings can be unbelievably stressful, mm-hmm. not only on the bride and the groom, but on parents, and particularly sometimes the mother of the bride. And so we use the example of two women whose daughters are getting married. The one is like, wow, I'm rejoicing, I'm celebrating, this is fun. And she comes into it with the attitude, not everything will go right. Not everything will be perfect. This is not going to be this exactly perfect wedding. The other is totally stressed out. The rehearsal dinner has to be perfect. Not only the dress, but the cake and the flowers, and if some of the flowers are wilted, it's outrageous. And this is going on and that's going on. And she completely is miserable preparing for and experiencing her own daughter's wedding. And her daughter and everyone else knows she is miserable. Yeah. Now, what's the difference between these two? I mean, it's not that things go better for the one than the other. I mean, if the flower girl does this, the ring bearer does that, and he goes running off and, you know, all that, that's just people laugh. That's just part of it. It's no big deal. But it is a big deal to the person who must have it perfect. And that's a stress-prone personality to expect life to be perfect and other people to be perfect. It's not going to work, and you and everyone else around you is going to be unhappy.
I should note that in the book that we're talking about, Help for Women Under Stress, you have discussion questions and a number of exercises that can help us kind of figure out where we are on the continuum of whether or not we tend more toward being stressed out and so on. So this book is really designed to be very practical.
It is. And certainly, while the book is written for women, I would say probably at least 80% of it pertains equally to men. It's just that a lot of the illustrations that we focus on, and some of them are also, there are some parts that don't just focus on women, but are specifically about women and not men. But yeah, you know, stress is inevitable. It's part of life. We need not fear it. It actually has some very good aspects to it. Stress can be a motivator for us. Stress researchers talk about the fight or flight syndrome, the fact that when your adrenaline just flows, let's say you're in a precarious situation, let's say you're in danger, the thing that motivates you and helps you to maybe get away, run quickly, or to fight off someone, or whatever it might be, or to defend a loved one, that sort of thing, it's a good thing. It's good that that's wired into us. But one of the things that used to be true is that people in more agrarian types of cultures would not have all of the opportunities and demands. Life was more simple.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you had the simple life, in some ways, the simple life was harder because you didn't have as much help doing what you're doing. But you would be able to go out and work hard and expend the energy inside. Many of the things that save work for us, still we find ourselves, our minds are racing, and we don't have hard physical labor, many of us, to pour it into. So we kind of sit in a chair with the juices just kind of flowing and things just sort of boiling up in the pressure cooker. And so we really need to find positive releases. We have a chapter on exercise. We have a chapter on eating right. That was kind of funny rewriting that, because I'd see certain things and I'd say, boy, you're really a hypocrite there. Wow. Other things I stuck with. I stuck with exercise all these years, and I'm grateful that I have, but I'll mention something about not drinking too much coffee, and I go, well, yeah, sometimes I only have one cup. It's 30 ounces, but you know, but
I think they call that a pitcher, Randy.
Exactly. But anyway, there's physical things we can do, but one of the big things that we emphasize in this book, Georgine, is the perspective that comes from being with God. And
yes,
we know that. That's not new to any of us as Christians, but to know something in your brain and actually do it day by day can be two different things. Because when we are meditating on Christ, when our mind is on Him, when we are, I listen to Scripture every morning. I read Scripture as well, but I listen to Scripture. Anybody's got a smartphone can have, you know, the free audio, or you can buy the audios, the whole Bible, and any version you want. And I just listen to it, and I love hearing the words of Scripture. And what happens is that time spent with God that draws our hearts toward Him, and Nancy has exactly the same experience, carries over throughout the day. It's not just the half hour or hour that you're spending with God. It's that's helping you 5 hours from now, because it is set. It's like the compass that's set on true north. Your mind has been set on God, true north, and that will help you throughout the day.
I appreciate that you also have a chapter titled How God Uses Stress for Your Good and His Glory. We sometimes imagine that stress only has a downside, but God actually uses it in ways that are significant in our walk with Him.
That's absolutely right. I mean, look at these passages of Scripture, 1 Peter 1, James 1, that talk about trials and the way God uses trials in our life, about the patience and the endurance and the holiness, the purifying, the discipline in Hebrews and other passages, when God disciplines us for our own good, and the way he disciplines us is by taking us through difficult times in our lives. Now, some people don't like it worded that way, taking us through. They think God only allows stress in the sense that, you know, Satan can bring it and bad people can bring it, but God just only permits it. Well, yes, of course, he does permit it. But you have a classic example of a terribly evil thing that was done to Joseph by his brothers. Imagine this teenage boy who is not only betrayed and thrown into a pit, but sold into slavery and taken to this strange land where he doesn't even know the language of the Egyptians. And things happen, he ends up in prison and all these terrible things that happen to young Joseph. And then he is able to say to his brothers in Genesis 50, verse 20, "You intended these things for evil, but God intended them for good." Now, not just God brought good out of the bad. That's true. But you intended them for evil, but God intended them for good. How does that work? I don't know. I don't know, but I know God is sovereign, and it does work. And so, yes, Joseph's brothers were totally evil. They were totally responsible and accountable for their evil. But God also had intentions for Joseph, good intentions, and for all of Israel, even in the thing that was so bad.
I love some of your chapter titles, Guilt, God, and Self-Esteem. Are You Meant to Be Wonder Wife and Supermom? Managing Time and Tasks Before They Manage You. And then your conclusion, Pace Your Race. There are some things we can do to manage stress. Give us a few pointers in dealing with life as stressful as it is that will help us manage, until we can get a copy of your book and read it from beginning to end, that will help us manage the stress that life inevitably brings.
Well, certainly being realistic, first of all, your own limitations. You think about all the demands of life. Just think, I can't do everything, and I shouldn't do everything. God doesn't want me to do everything. It's Luke 10, Mary and Martha. Mary has chosen the better portion, Jesus said, and it will not be taken from her. Few things are necessary, really only one. So focus on the Lord. Start with him, end with him. Have verses of scripture you carry around. Meditate on throughout the day. If things get hurried, and look for the times, whether it's driving to carpool before you've picked up the kids or after you've dropped them off or whatever it is. Just, this is my time, Lord, to talk with you, to meditate on scripture. So carve out those times and kind of lower your expectations of other people. So much of our stress comes from expecting everybody around us to live up to our standards. And then, of course, when they expect that of us, we don't appreciate it. So let's not do it to other people, and let's make life easier for them and for us. And just have the perspective of knowing this life as it now is under the curse will not last forever. What will last forever is our life with Jesus Christ and the family of God for all eternity on a new earth in the resurrection, a perfect world. This world is not that world, so don't expect it to be. And then you'll be happier and more content.
Yeah, yeah. I remember before Dan and I married, and by the way, last week we celebrated our 31st wedding anniversary. One of the things he said to me was, balance your expectations. I didn't really appreciate it so much at the time. I didn't understand fully what he meant, what he meant was what you're saying is balance your expectations. Don't expect that, you know, our marriage is going to be a panacea, that I'm going to answer all your dreams. And it was such wise counsel from a young man about to marry.
That Dan Rice is a smart man.
He is.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, Randy, this is a great book, and I know that I'm planning on spending a little more time in it. You know, I have stress every once in a while.
Well, you know, one of the stresses that we have is, I just got to read this book, you know? And so I just tell people, look, if it would make your life less stressful to not read it, why don't you just do that?
How can our listeners find a copy of Help for Women Under Stress?
Well, this is unique in all of our books, because usually we do it through a publisher, but we published this one ourselves. And so it's just directly available through our ministry. You can get the e-version of it from Amazon, Kindle, or any of the other e-reader versions. You can buy it from Amazon. You can buy it from our ministry, but you're not going to find it on bookstore shelves. And that you can go to our website, which is epm.org. and you'll find it there.
Again, that's for Eternal Perspective Ministries, EPM.org.